Need some water, son. Yeah, well, they drank it all. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. I ask you to give us wisdom to preach, power and liberty to preach. And my Father, I pray that the blessed Holy Spirit might open the hearts and the minds and the understanding of the hearer. May the Word of God be effectual in our lives. May we profit from our time together. May we bring honor and glory to Thee. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, Deceived. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart will lie to you. It'll tell you things that you want to hear, even though you know it's not so. Your heart will deceive you. People say, well, if I know my heart, that's not a good guide to go by. Amen. You need something a lot more stable than that. You need something a lot more sure than that. If I was you, I would recommend the Bible. Go by that. It won't lie to you. It won't deceive you like your heart will. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 said, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now, he is a master deceiver. One, he's got half the world convinced he doesn't exist. Amen. He's got the other half convinced he's a fallen angel. Neither one of those are true. Amen. Pretty good job. But he deceives the world about all kind of things. And that's the reason the world runs after pleasure and worldly possessions instead of godliness and a life given to Christ. They're deceived. They think that's the best life, and it's not the best life. In Luke chapter 21, verse 8, the Bible said, and he said, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, take heed that you be not deceived. Now, you don't have to be deceived. If you're deceived, it's because you were negligent. It's because you've been careless. It's because you haven't thought about it. It's because you haven't investigated the situation. You don't have to be deceived. There's information around. There's knowledge around. You can learn the fact. So if you're deceived, it's usually your fault because you didn't put enough effort into finding out the truth, or you went to the wrong place for your information. You went to science and education and philosophy instead of to God and the Bible. He said, well, that old book is old and antiquated and out of step. That book is brand new. It is on the money, and it's better than any science text or any philosopher you ever met in your life. Every philosopher that ever lived got what he knows out of the first 10 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes and the first 7 chapters of Job. There are not any more philosophies than that. You know, all of them are plagiarists. They all stole what they got. Then in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible said, little children, let no man deceive you. So what does that mean? That means everybody that tells you something, check it out. Amen. So preacher, don't you trust anybody? Nobody. Amen. I like all of you. I love all of you. I embrace all of you. I check out everything you say. You may have a hidden agenda. Amen. You may have been misled yourself. If you think I'm going to take what you say on blind faith, you're nuts. Amen. If you got any sense, you won't take everything I say on blind faith. Now, I'm probably the only person you know that you could do that and be safe. But some of y'all ain't got no sense. You wake up. I mean, smile a little. Life's too short not to have fun. James chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible said, deceiving your own selves. The worst kind of deception is self-deception. It's one thing if Brother Lewis tricks me. It's quite another thing if I trick myself. Amen? I don't want to be the reason for my own undoing. I'd rather somebody else do it. Now, I don't want to be deceived at all, but if I have to be, Lord, please let it be somebody else. Don't let it be because I had a preconceived idea and I wouldn't listen to reason. I wouldn't watch the facts. I didn't pay any attention. Don't let me deceive myself just because there's something I want to do or something I want to possess or someplace I want to go. Amen. And that's why we deceive ourselves most of the time. We know deep down in our heart we're afraid. We won't look because we have the sneaking suspicion that if we do, we'll see the truth. And we want to do this. We want to go there. We want to have that. And so we willfully deceive ourselves. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I have 15 little things here. Some are serious, and some are not quite so serious, because I knew if I had 15 serious things, some of y'all would go to sleep. So I've interjected a small but reverent portion of humor in today's message. I want to give you 15 examples of people that are deceived. Just in case you don't know whether you are or not, I want to help you out with your self-analysis. Today's going to be introspective. We're going to look into ourselves and see where we're at. Amen? Number one, you are deceived if you think Diana was a princess. But Diana wasn't a princess. Diana was a whore. Amen. See, I thought I would get that out of the way, because fun folks get offended if you talk about Princess Di, because they're fixated on her. She was a little chunky, a little overweight, very pale of skin. I saw those photos of her on the beach, you know, when she's about 25 pounds over. You wouldn't have looked at her twice. But she ran around the countryside with her children at home, her husband with his lover, in a Mercedes-Benz and a fancy jet all over the countryside, and they weren't married. She's a harlot. Amen. She's no princess. There's nothing about that old hussy to look up to. She ain't no example for your young people. Number two, you are deceived if you think a peace treaty means peace. They don't ever mean peace. Let me tell you what a peace treaty really means. A peace treaty means a cessation in hostilities while both groups rearm. That's what they really mean. Everybody breaks them. As soon as they think they've got enough guns and ammunition and they think they can have their way, they'll ignore the treaty and start the war all over again. See? Peace treaties, they're not worth the paper they're written on. You'd have been better off to put your grocery list on that, ladies. Number three. You are deceived if you think the wind will always be at your back. You know, sailors are always looking for the wind back here to push their ship. We want things going our way, is what it amounts to, see? If the wind's behind your back, then you're moving right along on track. It's not always going to be that way. Let me tell you something. Your life is going to be full of troubles, trials, disappointments, and sometimes disasters. There's going to be heartache and grief, and there's nothing you can do about it. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, what it says in the book of Job. And everybody I've ever known, they say, oh, everything's going my way. Well, don't get too excited. The weather will change. It may be on in your back now, but it'll be crosswind or down your face tomorrow. Amen. Don't get used to it. It won't stay there. Life is fickle. It's unstable. Things go your way, and then things don't go your way, and then they go your way, and they don't go your way. The only good thing about trouble is it doesn't come to stay. Amen? But neither do good times. They don't come to stay either. And you never know what's going to be on tomorrow. You better make the most out of today. If the wind's at your back today, thank God for it. Enjoy it. Make the most out of it, because tomorrow it may be right in front of you. Amen. You are deceived if you think Windex don't leave streaks. Now, I saw them commercials where them blackbirds fly into that window because they couldn't see it. I tried to clean the windshield of my truck with that stuff. Now, I'm here to tell you, bless God, that thing leaves streaks. Amen. So if you believe that commercial, you're deceived. It don't work. Windex leaves streaks. I love this one. I just about rolled in the floor when I thought of it. You are deceived if you think the tooth fairy is always pretty. Do you ever think about that, you know? Little kids wait for the tooth fairy to come. Mama comes in and puts 50 cents under the pillar, and probably a $10 bill now, but it's a quarter when I was a kid, you know. And everybody talks about the tooth fairy, the fairy princess that puts the money under the pillow. Now, do you ever look at some of them fairy princesses and put that money under there? I'm here to tell you, the tooth fairy is not always pretty. I thought y'all ought to know that. You are deceived if you think all the Bibles on the market today are from God. There are over 200 English translations. You have the Cotton Patch Edition. Anybody ever read one of those? Well, it's only about half a Bible, but it's updated so that everybody can understand it. You know, all the Bible translators, all the people who print Bibles are unscriptural. They all want to write a Bible that anybody can understand everything in it without having to study it. And God told you in the Bible, study to show thyself approved. Amen? God fixed it so you got to work at it. And they want to fix it so you don't got to work at it. Amen? And so they wrote the Cotton Patch Edition. It said, to the church in Atlanta, to the church in Chicago. Now, there may be a small church in Atlanta, but I'm here to tell you, I've been to Chicago. They ain't got no church. Cotton Patch Edition. It's just nonsense. Then they have what's called the Shorter's Polychrome Bible. That took everything out except the pertinent sayings of Christ. It's a very small book. And how they decided which things he said were pertinent and which ones weren't, I don't know. Then Reader's Digest got in it, and they have a condensed version. They've got 31,000 verses down to less than 7,000. Now, you're not going to get the whole story there. See what he said? I'm saying there's all kind of translations out there, and they contradict each other. One says this, and the other says that. And by the time you get through, if you read that mess, you don't know if there is a Bible. You don't know if there's a God. And if there is a God and there is a Bible, which one is it, and which one do I believe? Because they don't say the same thing. Now, God's not stupid. God only wrote one Bible. Amen. He had one in Hebrew, he had one in Greek, he had one in Latin, he has one in English, he had one in German. Now the one in English is a King James 1611. It's called the Authorized Version. It was written by, or translated and authorized by, Prince James. Amen? And the Bible you need to read in the English language is a King James Bible. And if you've got anything else, what you have is fire starter. Just tear the pages out and start your fire with it. Light your charcoal with it. If you go camping, take it with you, and you can use it to start your campfire. But if you want a Bible that is a Bible, what you've got to do is get a King James 1611 authorized version of the Holy Scripture. Now, that's a Bible. Amen? I got a little thing up here in front of my Bible. It said, if there is not a Bible that is the Bible, then a Bible will do. For that matter, any Bible will do. If there's not a single one that is the Word of God, then it doesn't make any difference. Just get you Mickey Spillane or Tom Peretti or whoever it is and read all that fiction. God wrote one Bible. Amen. Let's see, where am I at here? Number seven. If you think that the good life will last forever, you are deceived. People say, oh, preacher, we're so happy and everything's just going our way and the kids are doing good and our health is good and they've got money in the bank and the house is paid for. Listen, just give it a little time and it'll go to hell on you. Don't worry about it. Amen? The kids will get in trouble. The money will get tight. The roof will have to be replaced. You will wreck the car. It's not going to always go your way. You're going to go down life's road, and we're going to get married, and we're going to be happily ever after. Yeah, till you're broke, and then we'll watch you fight. Amen. They say familiarity breeds contempt, but not like poverty. Man, when you get broke, I've been married to the same woman 43 years. You can't kid me. When you can't afford to go get a hamburger, when she can't buy a new dress, when she can't go look at the shoe stores, after a little while, the tension begins to build. And it's like a pressure cooker. And I'm here to tell you that after a little while, you're going to be at each other's throat. Amen. If you think the good life's going to be all the time, 24/7, every day, every month, and every year of your life, you're dreaming. You are a deceived human being. It's not going to be that way. So, well, why do you be so negative? So you can prepare for the bad times and get yourself through them. That's why. They're a coming. Anticipate them. Learn to live with them. Some people get so down in the mouth and get discouraged and despondent and all that when they're having the bad. Listen, that's as much a part of life as a good time. You got to learn to take them in stride. The secret is don't overreact when things are good and don't overreact when things are bad. Neither one are permanent. Number 8, you are deceived if you think you live like hell and end up in heaven. Now you've got a whole world out here. You got a lot of folks that are professing Christian that think they can live like hell and they're going to end up in heaven. That doesn't work that way. Somebody say amen. I'll say, well, I'm just going to get saved and then when I get home to the pearly gates, I know I won't have any rewards, this, that, and the other, but God's going to let me in. I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't count on that. Attitude like that's not the attitude of a saved person. You know what that Bible said? That Bible said they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us, for we are of them, or not of them that are drawing back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I'm really making a lot of noise. I think my battery's going dead. Oh, who put that over there? Oh, we did. Okay. I'll stand over here. How's that?
That's better?
I knew it was making a funny racket. I know sometimes when the battery going dead, it kind of gets gravelly sounding. Okay, where was I at? You can't live like hell and end up in heaven. Now, the Bible said, to whom ye yield your servant, your members, servants to obey, him, that you are their servant. So, if you give your body and life to God, that's because you belong to him. If you give your body and life to the devil, it's because you belong to him. Whoever it is you serve, that's whose servant you are. And so if you spend your life living like hell, guess where you're going to end up? See, well, I trusted Christ when I was 8 years old at a daily vacation Bible school. Did it change your life? Did it get you in church? Did it make you honest, or moral, ethical? Did it make you live right? Did it give you a conscience when things offend God? If it didn't change your life, if it didn't make you a new creature, if it didn't make you walk a different path, you didn't get much. You know why things on your path you're on still look so familiar? Because it's the same old path. That's why. Number 9. You are deceived if you think you can play with fire and not get burned. The Bible way of saying that is, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? Can you mess with fire and not get burned? Can you dabble in sin and not get dirty? Can you dabble in sin and not get into fire? Well, the answer is an emphatic no. But boy, you live in a day and age when the unsaved world and professing Christians believe that they can dabble with things, mess with things, and they know how far to go. They know when to quit. They can control it. They know what they're doing. And every day they're tumbling in head over heel. Every day they're getting in sin. Every day they're getting in trouble. I'm here to tell you, you cannot take fire in your bosom and not get burned. You can't play with fire and not get burned. You mess with sin, you mess with the world, and it will get you. It will get you. It may take a while, but it'll get you. You ever watch people that smoke cigarettes? There's a pretty little girl out at the golf course yesterday. And I had my grandsons with me. We were playing golf. And they just happened to notice that she was very attractive and very well built. And Ryan looked at her, and I could see there was a certain glimmer of admiration for her exterior appearance. And he said, "What a waste." I said, "Why a waste?" He said, "She smokes." I said, "Hallelujah, I love that." You ever watch people that smoke besides having bad breath and stinking? Everything they own's got a burn on it. You ever go in the house of somebody that smokes? There's a little scar here where it fell off an ashtray. There's a little burn over here in the carpet where they knocked the fire off of it. You ever get in their car, especially after the wind has been rolled up on a warm, sunny day? It'd take your breath away, amen? But they got ashes in the carpet and everything they got. Say, why? Because you mess with fire soon enough, you burn something. Amen? So, what's the matter? I'm playing with that fire and I got burned. You can't do it, buddy. You can't do it. Best thing to do with fire is leave it alone. Number 10. You are deceived if you think your church can get you to heaven. Now, I'm a church kind of guy. I believe in church. I do. I think everybody ought to be a member of a good Baptist church. I think you ought to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And if we have a special event, I think you ought to be there for that. Yeah. Amen. I think if you love God, you ought to love God's house and God's people, and it ought to be more important than football, basketball, racing, golf, or anything else. Amen. If they open the doors down to the church house, I think you ought to get down there and participate. But I don't think he can get you to heaven. Now, there's a certain denomination, religious sect, that believes if you're not a member of their church, you're going to die and go straight to hell. Which is just nonsense. They think if you're not a baptized, practicing, confessing Roman Catholic, you're going straight to hell. Well, I know a lot of them that are baptized and practicing and they're still going to hell. Amen. Of course, I know a lot of Baptists that are baptized and practicing, and I ain't sure they're not going to hell either. Say why? Because they're counting on the wrong thing to get them home to glory. The church, your denomination, your group, your affiliation is not going to get you home to glory. God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ did not vest the power of salvation in the church. There's one name given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. You can be the best Baptist in the country and die and go to hell. But you can't be saved and go to hell. Now, I think you ought to be a Baptist. Somebody asked Dr. Bob Gray one time, he said, "Dr. Gray, if you weren't a Baptist, what would you be?" And without hesitation, he said, "Ashamed." But I'm not counting on the Baptist church to get me home to glory. And buddy, if you're counting on going to church, even a good church, even King James, this is the best Baptist church I know. But if you're counting on this thing to get you home to glory, you're going to be sadly deceived one of these days. You're deluded. You're not going to heaven because you're a Baptist or because you go to church. People go to heaven because they trust Jesus Christ. And if you don't do that, you're not going. Number 11, you are deceived if you think some priest can absolve you of your sin. Now, if you go down to the local Catholic church on Sunday morning, or the local Lutheran church, or the local Episcopal church, and if my calling names offends you, take it up with Jesus. I'm not interested. Those three churches, every Sunday morning, They have their little Eucharist thing, you know, and they put the little wafer on your tongue, and they drink the wine, and I'm talking about fermented wine. I'm talking about Welch's sparkling red. That's what we use because that's what I like. But they use alcohol and that little wafer. And that guy does that, and he goes through that mumbo-jumbo thing. My father bigger than your father, you know. And he said, here's what the priest said. I absolve thee of thy sins. I'm here to tell you, that Bible said there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's not a priest on this planet. There's not a preacher on this planet. There's not a person on this planet that can absolve you of your sin. You either get them washed away in Calvary's crimson flow, or you're still in them. Let no man deceive you. Be not deceived. Number 12. You are deceived if you think you can live a secret life and not be found out. You say, well, preacher, I have a private life. Well, there's nothing wrong with having a private life. But there's plenty wrong with having a secret life. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, let me see. It is no secret that we all have to go to the restroom. But it is private. Amen. It is no secret that husbands and wives have an intimate relationship. But it is private. Amen. The secret life is the one that you hide, that nobody knows you have. That's the life where you talk to folks, go with folks, go places, do things that you deny doing, that you pretend to the rest of the world you don't do. You keep it, it's not a matter of being private, it's a secret. You want to pretend that it doesn't exist. No Christian ought to have any kind of a secret life. We don't belong to secret societies, and we don't have a secret life. Our life is supposed to be open and above board. It amazes me how many folks these days think they have a secret life. You know, my wife watches court TV a lot. She likes all that gore and all that stuff about people getting killed and beat up and robbed and raped and stuff. She's a morbid, morbid woman. I like to watch funny stuff, you know. When they blow up all them trucks, all them cars, you know, all them, and the airplanes sweep in and the mortars. That's pretty cool because you know it ain't real. That stuff she watches is real, man. I mean, somebody really got hurt. Weird. Why would you want to watch that? But you know, because I am a very understanding and very gracious husband, I allow her to watch it a lot. And by osmosis, sitting there trying to study and be godly, I hear what's going on. And you know, about 9/10 of the time, when somebody got killed at home or something, you know, people call in and say, oh, my wife's dead. I got home and my husband's dead. It was the husband or the wife. And 99 times out of 100, you find out they had a secret life. She's watching this thing last night on 48 hours or 48 minutes or whatever it is. And some guy killed this lady, and they convicted this guy, and now they don't think he's guilty. Now they kind of think the husband kind of did it. But in the process, everybody thought this guy was a doctor. He had a beautiful wife and a big house and a couple nice kids and all that. And everybody thought they were just a pillar of the community. Come to find out, they both had a secret life. He was addicted to internet pornography, and she had multiple affairs. And the one found out about the other one, and they got in a big fight, and it looked like daddy killed her. It always gets found out. You say, well, I'm not going to. Well, you got a judgment to go to one of these days, pal. If they don't get you down here, and they probably will, but if they don't, there's a great judgment day coming, and you'll find out down there, and then everybody will know. I'll tell you, brother, I'll tell you what you do with your secret life. Get rid of your secret life, confess it to God, get it under the blood. And then it never comes up. That'll work. Amen. Number 13. You are deceived if you think your good deeds will get you to heaven. I talk to people all the time. You know what they say? Some of them are so stupid. I mean, they're good folks. I love them. Don't misunderstand me. But they're just stupid. They say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. By whose standards? Well, I know Tommy Stewart, and I know how wicked and hellish he is, and I'm a better person than him, so I'm pretty good. Well, whoop-dee-doo, son, that ain't going to get you nowhere. Right, Brother Tommy? I said, oh, I'm a good person. Well, I live good. I don't hurt anybody. I don't do bad things, meaning adultery, drunkenness, and, you know. I said, well, are you going to have one? Well, I think I'll be all right. I'm a good person. You're nuts. So how do you know you're nuts? Because the Bible said, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His mercy hath He saved us. He said, well, I'm a good person. The Bible said you weren't. The Bible said there's none good but one, and that's God. According to God, you're not any good. You're just no good. People always get offended when you say, you're no good. Well, you're not any good anyway. And neither am I. Neither was my mama or your mama. My mama wasn't no good. None good but one, and that's God. Your good works aren't going to get you home to glory. If your good works get you home to glory, Jesus Christ died for nothing. Number 14. I hate this point here. I really do. I almost didn't put it in. I almost took it out. You are deceived if you think sin will leave you no worse than it found you. You understand what I just said? You're deceived if you think that sin will leave you no worse off than it found you. You don't break even with sin. You always lose when you sin. Sin takes a toll. There is a price to pay. It leaves a mark. It puts a scar. It hardens the heart. It sears the conscience. It defiles the mind. It destroys the body. It separates from God. It destroys family. Sin is a lose, lose, lose situation. Nobody ever messed with sin and stayed the same. Everybody that messes with sin always comes out worse. It will not leave you like it found you. It'll leave you in a ditch someplace. It'll leave you diseased somewhere. It'll leave you without a family. It'll leave you without a reputation. It'll defile your conscience. It'll make you a neurotic out of you. Put you in an insane asylum. It'll put you on medication because you can't deal what you've done. Let me tell you what the best thing you can do with sin is. Leave it alone. You're deceived if you think you can mess with it and stay the same. Nobody that messes with sin is ever the same. And nobody that ever messed with sin was better. Everybody that dabbles in sin is a loser. Last but not least, you are deceived. You think you can get to the Father without going through the Son. You can't get to God the Father without going through God the Son. The Bible said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Preacher, that's so exclusionary. That eliminates, that excludes all the Hindus and the Buddhists and... Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I don't get mad. I didn't write that. I just read that in God's book. You say, preacher, you really think all those people are deceived? They think they're serving their God, they're serving Allah, and they're going home to glory. You think they're all deceived? Yes, I do. If the Bible is right, and when I say that, I don't have any doubt. If the Bible is right, then anybody who rejects Jesus Christ will die and go to a devil's hell. Do you understand that? Why in the world do you think He said, I send you into all the world, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Why? God wanted the Muslim and the Hindu to get the message. God wants the white man and the black man and the yellow man to get the message. God wants the good guy and the bad guy and the heterosexual and the homosexual. He wants them all to get the message. Why? Because if they don't come to Christ, perish without God and without hope. Only one way to heaven. And it ain't by being good. And it's not by being in church. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you received Christ? That Bible said, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The only sons of God. People say, oh, we're all children of God. No, we're not. The Bible said in John chapter 8, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Two fathers. God is one, and the devil is the other. You're born a child of the devil, and you got to get born again to be a child of God. And that Bible said, except you be born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, with all of my heart and with all of my energy, I beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. Be not deceived. If you're not saved, if there's not been a time and a place where you experienced conversion, when you were saved by God's grace, when you were birthed into the family of God, when your old man was dead and a new man was created, when you became a new creature in Christ Jesus, if that has never occurred to you, I don't care how good you are, I don't care how religious you are, if you've never had that life-changing experience where you became a Christian, don't let your own heart deceive you. And let no man deceive you. You're lost. And you'll perish. Why don't you come today? I tell you the truth in Christ Jesus and lie not. Today is the day of your salvation. If you harden not your heart, now is the accepted time. The Bible said God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. God wants you to be saved. Send His Son to save you. But you have to come to Him. You have to get washed in blood. It's a definite experience. You weren't born a Christian. You're not a Christian because you were in a Christian family, and you're not a Christian because you're in a Christian nation. It takes a personal experience with a personal Savior, or you'll perish without God and without hope. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Ryan, I want you to come play this morning. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood...